Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. What?
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Scrub-a-dub-dub. So I came into Tanya's. I just had a Lunchable in the car, and I was needing some sweets. And
Lunchable. A Lunchable. Like, I haven't had a Lunchable since I was 12 years old. Maybe 15.
Well, I am sorry for that, for you. So I came in. Tanya is always upstairs in her office before, like, I never see her until I walk upstairs. So I come in and she was like, will you grab the computer off the bar? And so I grabbed the computer and then I went to her little candy stash, which is mostly like Smart Sweets and Starburst.
Literally, that's it.
Got the mini Starburst out, came up to have me a little sugary treat. And she had a Reese's Sticks pack waiting for me, which is my favorite candy. So it's just a good day.
It's her favorite candy and it's not easy to find. Although I'm not saying that I go out to the grocery store and look for it often. But usually, you know, when you're checking out at the grocery store and they have all those candies to the side, they always have peanut butter cups. Mm-hmm. Always, but they never have the sticks. And those sticks are Becca's favorite. So I saw them the other day and I bought them for you because I just had to.
Justice for the sticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need more recognition.
So I just put them up here, like where your microphone is, just to have it here.
And I ate all of them. I ate both of them already. Quick.
Yeah. Before we even started.
They were mowed down in 3-ish minutes. If that.
But so Becca Easton, is about to start her period, and, yeah. In case anybody's curious.
Easton asked what phase the Reese's Sticks phases of the cycle, and I said it was the lunar cycle, and Tanya corrected me, and apparently that's not one of the...
Luteal.
The luteal lunar.
Means you're almost done with your luteal phase.
Correct. Means you're just about to hit your menstrual phase.
I thought you just had your menstrual phase.
I did. It goes menstrual and then follicular and then ovulatory and then luteal and then menstrual. And it just goes around.
And then circular?
Exactly. No circular. There's no circular.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of circular.
It is. Yeah, it's a circle.
It is very circular. But I have to say, okay, so I haven't, people have been asking me if I noticed a difference. And I got my period like a week and a half into really starting this thing. So I think it was too soon to tell. So I think my next one, I think I'm really gonna, that's when I'll see the feel the difference. Mm-hmm. But as I'm being more aware of these phases of my cycle, it's really weird because I feel like I'm just getting more in tune with my body. And so spoiler alert, or like TMI alert, whatever, you don't like period talk, maybe skip the next 15 seconds. But I'm entering my ovulatory phase. And that's when you kind of get that like discharge.
Yeah.
And I got it today. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm so on sync with my cycle. Like it all is starting to make sense.
Wait, so you're saying because today's your first day of that?
Yeah.
And you had the results of it?
Yes. But normally I would just get it and you don't think twice. You know what I mean? Like you just get it a little bit. And you don't really think about it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, like I had just entered my ovulatory phase and I got that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my cycle syncing is correct.
You really find the bright side in every
situation.
I mean,
the body is such a beautiful thing. It just is. So crazy.
I don't know if discharge is like where I go like, wow, this is like amazing. But the body is amazing. And it's actually really cool because like I'll most likely never do what you're doing. So it's cool to hear the what you're noticing and like the results.
And like I was reading that the follicular phase is the phase right after you are on your period. So it's the first day that you're not on your period. And they say that you're supposed to have this kind of like creativity and a lot of energy and just like wanting to get a lot of stuff done and be super productive. And I was in that phase. I was like super motivated and inspired and I set goals and like, I don't know. It's fascinating to me.
But when I think of you always being that way.
I mean... But I also like during my period, I did a lot of yoga, and I took a day off, which I like never do. So I don't know. I'm feeling fun.
It'd be interesting to find out, like, oh, Taylor Swift wrote Folklore in her, like, Udiel phase. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to hear, yeah, like, if it's supposed to be this, like, burst of creativity and energy, like there must be some great works that have been completed in that phase by
they do
our
say
women.
They say, like, to kind of try and stack, if you're able to, with work stuff, like, stack your stuff that you need your creativity and you need your energy for around this phase.
Wow.
It is very interesting. I don't know.
So every meal that you're making and everything, is it a specific, like, recipe, or are you just...
No, it's that's just the thing. Like, it's really, it's easy because there's a chart. You can literally Google the chart, and it's for every phase. It just kind of tells you what, like, fruits, vegetables, meat, and grains are good for that. So it's basically just kind of to, because there's so much nutrients in food, you know, there's so much like nutrients in the food that we eat. So I basically just kind of, like, let's say pumpkin seeds are what I'm supposed to be eating right now. I'll throw pumpkin seeds on my salad, or, you know, kind of like, I eat fruit every day. So I'll just kind of buy whatever fruit is good for my phase that, you know, those next couple of days. So I'm just doing it kind of slowly and integrating it into my normal life. I'm not, like, doing any crazy changes. Mm-hmm. So it's easy.
I've had a few moments in life when I've been really happy to be a dude. Like when my wife was in labor.
Yeah.
And this one. Those three come to mind. The two labors in this moment now are the three moments I've been happiest to be a dude.
Well, yeah, because you know what? All these studies that come out about all these new, you know, these new diets that work like a charm. And, you know, you, what was the one where you eat like a bunch of bacon and cheese and like...
Atkins.
Oh. Yeah. You know, you're going to lose all this fat, da da da. But they only test these things on men, and men's bodies and the testosterone is so different from the woman's body. And so we're like being told all this stuff. And, you know, I'm one of those people. I used to buy into all that stuff. I would try every diet under the sun. And it's like, doesn't work for us.
I mean, I've tried every... I mean, when I say try, I've done it for like maybe 2 days where where they're like, do this and you will lose weight rapidly. And I'm like, I'm on it. And then I buy all of it. I do it for like 2 days and I'm like, nope, I'm hungry. No results. Done. Going back to my Reese's sticks.
Yeah.
Starburst minis.
So, I mean, I do want to say too, like, I'm not a doctor and I'm not.
And Lunchables.
Yeah, and Lunchables.
Okay. So the Lunchable was a quick grab at Target the other day. I was like, that sounds like it could hit at the right time. And as I was walking out the door to go to the podcast, I thought, this is the right time.
Like, how do you have energy to do things?
I really don't. Like, I have to, like, mentally create it. I don't have, like, the physical energy.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not, like, trying to act like I feel great all the time.
Right. If I ate a Lunchable, I feel like I would...
You'd probably throw up.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what your body would
I'm
do.
I'm not hitting on Lunchables. I think they're delicious.
They're
but I think
so
everybody's
good.
Different, too. I don't eat great. I don't eat like you do, Tanya, and I feel great all the time.
Yeah,
a lot of energy?
Yes.
Interesting.
If I'm
Let's
doing,
go.
Like, if I'm having, like, a balance and, like, eating, you know, I can eat kind of, like, whatever during the day, but then have, like, a healthy-ish dinner and I'm, like, working out consistently, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But, like, lately, I've just been off the rails, like, no control. Like, normally, if we order pizza, I'll get, like, cauliflower crust or gluten-free, so I actually feel, like, pretty good after I eat it.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been going like original crust and it is so freaking good. I'm like, why do I stray from this heaven?
I know. Well, I actually did want to say, because I had a girl reach out to me on Instagram because she was saying how I should be more clear that I'm not doing this and like doing the cycle syncing to lose weight, because I think I maybe made it confusing because I said the Red Star and I went and got our body fat tested. But I'm not doing it to lose weight. I'm really doing it to balance my hormones. But there is, they do say that if you follow it, your body will basically, your body's kind of a reaction to the workouts that I'm doing. So if I'm working with my cycle, I think I will see a physical change, but I want to make it clear that I'm not doing it because of that.
My understanding was that you are knocked out by your time of the month every month, and you're tired of it, and you want to do something to help your body through it and make it more balanced.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think...
I have my period. My period doesn't have me anymore, okay?
That's right. I guess the thing is, I think if I had more of a, if I dealt with a horrible period every single month, I would probably be more interested. Like, I would be like, oh, I'm going to look into this because it's not like it's going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we have it, but it doesn't have us. Mm-hmm. And, but mine are like pretty, you know, I just eat what I normally eat, crave what I normally crave and get it done.
No more Grim Reaper. Those days are gone. Bye. Hopefully. We'll see.
You are so ambitious and creative, though. Like, this weekend, y'all were, like, making the... What do you call those cakes?
The sprinkle exploding surprise cake.
Yeah. There was, like, a fish on Red Star's Instagram story of, like... basically missing the face and the tail, which may have scarred me for the weekend. And then
it scarred me. He had to Google how to cut it. He was like, I don't know how to do this.
That needed a trigger warning because I was like not ready for it. And then, yeah, y'all like it was like y'all are just like throwing dinner parties on the weekends and looked fun.
Thank you. I like to do it up. I like to have a fest. I don't know. I'm just kind of in this thing. I've always been this way, but it's like, why do something half-ass? Why not go all out and make it an experience? So we were doing like a sushi night. And So I was like, let's get a fish and like make the rolls. And I got little lanterns from Amazon to put in the backyard. So they like made like a vibe. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I started doing it in the pandemic because we couldn't go anywhere and we couldn't do things like that. But I kind of like it. And so I think I want to keep it going.
Well, that's good. When I have sushi night, I simply get on my DoorDash app and I say, type in sushi and find the shortest delivery time. And she gets ordered.
I do have to say it takes a long time.
With a high service charge, I will say. No, I really appreciate that about you because I'm not that way. And I was looking like, God, this is so ambitious. And I'm like, I'm glad that she's dating someone who is equally ambitious enough for the challenge of these like grand activities on the regular. Because, you know, not everyone is like capable of doing that.
No, you should have seen. So we had like a date night the other night. And so we went out to dinner, right? And it was the first night of my follicular phase. And so I was like, we have to like make some goals. We have to set some goals together and individually and together. And so we sit down to dinner and I pull out this like notebook that I have and like his name's written in it, my name's written in it. And then it says as a couple. And I start making us set goals as we order our wine. And I was like, bless you for, I mean, he loves it too. Like, cause it starts to get his brain thinking about things that he wants to do.
I think maybe there's a time and a place for the goal setting. I don't know if the restaurant is it, but to each his own.
I think he enjoyed it.
He's good about at least seeming like he enjoys it. That's it. I feel like I should send him flowers or a card or something and just be like, thank you for handling her.
I know there's always like the level of just normal. And then there's like the Tanya level. Like I always just take it one step too far or like one step above normal. I made us like matching aprons for the sushi night. With, like,
oh yeah.
Oh my god. Oh,
I didn't see the hats.
But I couldn't wear it. I couldn't wear it. It was so bad. But he like tickles me and wears it or not tickles me. What is the word? Humors me.
I was like, he tickles you in the apron or is that foreplay?
What are you humors me and wears it, which I appreciate. You know.
Yeah, we all appreciate it because really.
Yeah, you more than anyone. Because
I would be in a matching apron and she'd probably make me wear the hat too. So,
you know, those. So I bought those matching sweatshirts. What is it? She's my sweet, you're my sweet potato. And the other one says, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So I bought those and I'm trying to make either Becca wear them with me or Red Star. Red Star said he would wear it if there was an occasion. And so I need to find, my goal is to find a sweet potato festival or something.
Oh my God.
Tanya, what? We're all exhausted for Red Star. I need to send him to Miraval Retreat in Arizona alone so he can recharge.
That's his own fault. I would love to just wear them around to like bop around town on a Saturday, but he said he'd only wear it for a special occasion.
Well, I feel like this special occasion could be when we all do go on our podcast trip.
Oh, could you imagine him getting on a plane with me in that thing?
Oh my
he
God.
He will. He wears that Tanya face shirt all over the place. Like, what do you mean? Of course he will.
That's a great idea. I'm going to suggest it.
I would do that over a sweet potato festival activity, wherever those happen. I don't know.
I know. I've never heard of one, but I was like, put Easton on the case. I feel like Easton, if anybody could find me one, it's Easton.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been to a lot of food-centric festivals in my time.
Do you think there's a sweet potato festival somewhere?
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. Yeah. Stand by.
Okay. By the way, I think that's going to be really cute.
It's going to be really fun. I'm super excited. I wish it was sooner.
It's going to be here before you know it.
I know, but like right now it feels far.
My first reaction when we found out we were doing this Napa trip was, should we all make matching shirts?
Yeah, she said that in the group chat.
Which was followed by a lot of crickets. Because it's like summer camp. We're taking a bunch of podcasts and we're all going away for the weekend.
I told Haley about the shirts and she goes, why does Tanya always have to take it one step too far? And I go, I don't know. I told her, listen, if you want to make shirts, then you make shirts. And that's where I left it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Because, like, why just live life, you know? Like, live life to the extreme.
But on the flip side, why can't we just live life without that?
Matching shirts? How cute is that? Are you kidding?
I think there's two sides of that. Why can't we just live life?
It's like bringing me back to my sorority days when I was thriving.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There is a Sweet Potato Festival this September in Livingston, California, a short 4.5-hour drive from here.
Perfect. Done.
You can make it happen.
Done. I feel like I've been there.
Don't. He doesn't want to do that. Don't do that. Don't.
Okay, I'm gonna what's the word? I'm gonna preface.
Not do that?
No. I'm gonna lob the idea of wearing them on the plane.
Yeah, I think that feels nicer than
why
y'all
even that? Why not just like maybe how about this? When the two of you leave the hotel room in Napa to go to the studio where you're doing the podcast, you'll wear them on that walk. It'll be adorable. You'll do the podcast in those shirts. You'll go back to the hotel in those shirts. And then you can change into something for the evening.
That's great.
Sounds like,
I like
reasonable
that.
To me.
I like that plan. Okay. That's cute. That's super cute.
Yeah. So
a few people might see you, but he's not being paraded around. I just speaking as a guy, I could tolerate that.
So who wears the Yes I Am shirt?
Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not great for him.
Fine, I'll wear it the other way around. I don't care.
Neither op. I mean, I don't know why I asked as if it mattered, but I didn't know if you had different sizes. But
no.
There's something, is it demasculating or emasculating?
Emasculating?
I think it's emasculating, but it means D.
Wearing matching outfits is demasculating?
You're my sweet potato. Yes, I am. It's funny. Like, the photo that y'all get in it is going to be really cute. And, like, we're all going to be like, oh, my gosh, wow, aren't Robbie and Tanya cute? But
yeah, wait, maybe I don't do it in front of, like, people that he hasn't met.
Yeah. Give him.
No, you should introduce him with that, wearing that. That's a great way to break the ice.
Yeah. Maybe I won't make him do it in front of people he hasn't met yet.
All right, we're going to take a break, but first I want to talk about Zuru. Summer just got crazy with color. Crazy Bunch of Balloons by Zuru are here to help unleash summer fun. It's super easy. By simply attaching the stem to a hose, you can fill and tie 100 water balloons in 60 seconds. Bunch of Balloons are now made from certified recycled plastic.
It's funny that this is a sponsor leading up to the 4th of July, because last 4th of July, my wife bought some of these and said, here, go figure this out. And I looked at it, I was skeptical. I was like, no way this is going to work, right? I can't really do this many balloons at the same time. But you plug it onto your hose and it's amazing. Look at this. And you don't have to tie them. They tie themselves.
Honestly, I've been using these with my niece and my nephew for a while now, and it's the easiest thing. You just literally screw the top of it to your hose. It fills them all up, and as the water balloons fill, like they get to their size, they just fall off the stick and they're dirty tied.
It's a miracle.
I'm sending this to my sister for my nephews.
It's so easy, and I bet you the time that you save on making how many ever water balloons come on the thing is insane. And then you don't have to like get your fingers all hurt by like tying them. It's the worst. So anyways, on that note, our friends at Zuru Toys just sent us an amazing surprise unboxing experience to prepare us for the ultimate water fight.
Jump into summer with an all-out water balloon fight or blast away with X-Shot Fast Fill Water Blasters. For the little ones, we have tons of bubble blowing fun with Glove a Bubble. I'm really upset because I just realized that the Sex and the City revival hasn't even started filming. I thought it was pretty much done and it was going to come out soon. I had no idea that it was like not even in production yet.
And do you read the stories or do you just read the headlines?
I read the headlines.
No, okay.
When SJP made that post, I saw it. I'm like, not a word of this has been written yet. Like, they don't even know what this is going to be. There's not a chance.
I was like, are we not getting this to like 2023 at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the stories keep coming out about like, he's not in it. He is going to be in it. He's in it. They're in it. It's like, okay, they don't know what they're doing quite yet.
Oh,
not a clue. It's doomed. I'm not looking forward to this at all. I wanted to stop. Doomed. Please stop.
You think it's going to be bad?
I think it's going to be really bad. I'm really dreading it as a fan.
I know, honestly, I'm kind of scared of it too.
I'll be tuned in, but
I mean, for sure.
If I may, you said the same thing about the Friends reunion, and we all were happy with the Friends reunion, right?
Yes.
That's a good point. But the parts that we were hesitant about of the Friends reunion, I still didn't love about the Friends reunion. Yeah,
but also, it's different. The Friends reunion was a reunion. Sex and City, they're trying to continue the story.
Oh, you're right. It's scripted.
Yeah. Which is concerning.
Oh, it's scary for sure.
Yeah.
And honestly, that picture didn't, I mean, it was nice to see them together again, but that picture didn't fill me with excitement.
Yeah. They didn't seem overly excited in the photo. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
But maybe they just had a long day and someone was like, let's snap a picture. Won't get into that too much.
All I have to say, I don't know if I've shared this story on the podcast before, but I was Sarah Jessica Parker's escort for Jingle Ball. This was like years ago.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
In New York. And I've been a huge Sex and City fan since I was in high school. So I was like inside shaking, crumbling, but I kept my cool. And she brought her son with her. And before I met her, I was shaking. The second I met her, she could not have been more like loving and sweet. She was like fangirling over the people. Like, you know how when you go to shows or radio shows, there's a bunch of artists from, you know, just a bunch of different artists. So they have all their names kind of like Meghan Trainor that way, Sam Smith that way, Nick Jonas that way, you know, with arrows. She saw the wall with all the signs and she was freaking out and like taking pictures of it. And just so cute and unfazed by the fact that like she is Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
And so I brought her to her seats and then she did like a stage announcement. So while she was in the green room reading through her script, I took her son to meet, I think he met Sam Smith and Nick Jonas, and I got him a picture with both of them. And she could not have been more grateful. She said thank you probably 1,000 times to me. I will never forget that experience because she was everything I wanted her to be times 100. And then when I was walking her out, she asked me if I wanted a picture with her. And I said no, because I was just trying to be professional. And still to this day, it's my biggest regret in life.
She asked you if you wanted a picture and you said no?
No, like she wasn't like, oh, I love you, let's take a picture. She was just like, yeah, the girl that she was with, her handler said like, or not her handler, her PR or whatever, said, do you want to take a photo before we leave? And I said, no, I said, it was just such a pleasure. You know, thank you so much. I'm such a fan. Because I'd said I was a fan. I was trying to be professional.
That is called a miss. That is called huge a swing miss. And a miss.
I know.
And you never the entire time let down your professionalism?
No.
Wow.
Is
impressive.
That not the Tanya that we know? Like, there's something that's so genuine about Tanya. I think what people love about her is that she is such a fangirl. This was earlier in your career, like before you kind of...
Before on air, for sure.
Yeah. You were like trying to...
I definitely said I was a fan, but I wasn't like... Like, I am such a Charlotte. Yeah. Like, I'm such a Charlotte. You have no idea. Da, da, da. Like, I bought fake nipples because of Samantha, like all that stuff. Like, I didn't do that, but I definitely said I was a fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even picture you like not just like raving to someone about how much you love them.
I know. I know. I'm pretty sure I did it to the publicist, which is probably why she asked if I wanted a picture.
She's like,
but awesome. I didn't do it to Sarah Jessica Parker herself, which I am proud of myself for.
Proud of that for you.
But can you believe the memory will just be with me forever?
You know what I have that memory about was when I was on the plane with Ellen Pompeo and her family, and I asked her husband instead of just asking her, because it crushed my spirits regardless. I know.
Do you regret that?
Yeah, I wish I think that she would have, even if she didn't want to, I feel like she may have said yes. Because everyone always talks about how nice, like when they've met her in the wild, that she's so nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think you played that right, actually.
You,
I think
asking really?
The husband. Yeah, yeah, I do. I think it could to get a gauge. Otherwise, it could have gone even worse. If you'd gone straight to her and she'd have, like, you know, been like, arr, then you don't want that.
I would have been left in just sheer crumbles.
Yeah, that would have been tragic.
And I had, testing, I was like, waters, so hungover from the night before New York that, like, if that rejection on top of how I was feeling, I'd still be laying on the floor at LAX all these years later.
I haven't really, honestly, could you imagine anybody that you love that much not being, even if she said no, not to, for a photo, I feel like she would say it in a nice way.
Yeah. But like, no is still, no matter how nice you say it, no is like.
You would understand that though.
I do understand.
Yeah.
Her husband telling me no, I understood, but it still was rejection.
And that's how Sarah Jessica Parker felt. She wanted a picture with Tanya.
Yeah, Tanya, like, Tanya no, said no.
No,
I'm
good. Nope.
Exactly.
Pass.
Tanya
pass.
Crushed her dreams.
It's the opposite, you guys. Complete opposite. I'm like,
But honestly, that's why I don't want to meet my heroes, because I feel like nothing really good can come of that. I'm not going to have anything interesting to say. They're not going to gain anything from meeting me. I'm a waste of their time.
That's
just,
not
I don't
true.
See anything good coming from. Now,
do you remember when Shakira came in studio and I was so nervous because I told her about my Shakira John Mayer fan club?
Yeah, I do remember that.
She could not have been sweeter about it. Like, truly could not have been sweeter about it.
And I get that.
I get it. They're a little bit on. They're doing promo. They're in, you know what I mean? They're not in the wild per se. But she came back to like that back room where I sat. She didn't do it on air. She did it all on the side, away from cameras. And she was so like cute about it.
Well, because no one else in the world has a John Mayer Shakira Synergy Club. So, like, that was the first and last you'd ever hear about something like that.
John Mayer's reaction was, why did he have to share the club with Shakira? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I was like, because I was the president and I loved you both equally. So, yeah. That's why.
It's just so, I would never choose the, like, if you were, like, name two artists who would be, like, in a synergy club together, which whatever the hell that is, I'd be like, you know, Shakira and... I don't know, like Ricky Martin or Shakira and J-Lo, or I'd be like John Mayer and Ingrid Michaelson. You know, I would like have, it's just like you went.
Oh, the vibes. Yeah. Yeah. The vibes are different. John Mayer was for my my angsty, sad portions of my teenage years. And the Shakira was for the like vibrant, fun part of me.
Who do you listen to now when you're angsty?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh yeah. Sometimes when I'm singing along to Brutal or like listening and she's like says something about like being 17 and I just want to die and I'm like, oh, she's 17.
Well, technically I think she's 18 now.
She is.
Yeah. That song when I'm
but
singing
were you an
along.
Avril Lavigne fan when you were younger?
Not like I actually appreciate her music more now than I did in the heat of the moment.
Hold on. I forget the name, but you all will
just... Oh,
is
it the one? You can say what I want to say. Oh, I say I want to blow you away.
Be with you every night.
Do you like how when I start singing, Tanya panics and has to like jump in, but like can't get there soon enough?
There are like, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I liked all her like... Her ones when that were on TRL. Gone. Oh, whoa.
Honestly, Avril losing grip. If anybody needs like just a moment to feel things, to just feel every feeling they've ever felt, take a listen to an Avril Lavigne album. And I will, like, I used to write, but her and Michelle Branch, I used to write all their song lyrics in journals, and I would just write them over and over and over again. I would draw the guy's name, I would draw stick figures, and just write the lyrics, just write them out. Yeah. As I listen to the song on repeat.
A skater. He was a skater boy. I said, see you later, boy.
I mean, those weren't even her best ones. That's what I'm saying.
Do you have any of your old journals here?
No, not here. Something I'd have to go to my parents' house and look through.
I'm going to need some readings of those one day if you're able to locate them.
I'm telling you, Avril Lavigne just did it. Like, that was the first. I went to Hollywood and Highland. I think I ditched school that day because she was performing at Hollywood and Highland.
Whoa.
Because I wanted to see her so bad.
Did you? Ryan's show?
I think it was Ryan's show, yeah.
Did you ever hear me about my story when I had just moved to San Diego and Demi Lovato was going to be at the opening of the Microsoft store in the mall. And so I went with a friend and the first 50 people in line got to go in and do a meet and greet with her. I was going for my youngest sister, Hink. It's her birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hink.
I was going to get her an autograph. And
your sister's a Gemini?
Yeah. And I waited all night, like did not sleep. The sun comes up. It's finally time. She's arrived. We're all, the first 50 of us are just exhausted. We go in and she literally, we like get... They won't let us have our phones out. She takes just like a poster of herself and just signs her name and hands it and like smiles at me. And that was it. I didn't get like two ink. I didn't get anything.
No.
I was like, oh my gosh. I just wasted a whole night of sleep for nothing even personalized. I could have bought
This is Demi Lovato. Haven't we covered this before? This is what she does. This is who she is.
I feel like Demi Lovato, if I saw her now at a meet and greet, we could have a conversation.
Yeah.
Tanya has a video of her like trying to be friendly to her and she's walked right by. I don't have a great opinion of her.
That was...
Like, well, Jake loves Tanya.
I know. She does. Yeah. She does. Yeah. So the video Mark's talking about is because, okay, when you're on a press line and you're press and the artist isn't doing press, they're going to skip by you, right? But so me, Tanya, like thinking like, oh, Debbie loves me. I'll just like...
Wait, what was this for?
I can't remember exactly what carpet it was, to be honest. I can't remember. But
was it recent?
No. Oh, okay. This was like, I mean, a few years ago.
Okay.
More recent than not. Okay. But, so yeah, I was like shouting her name out, but I to her defense, she can't stop and just say hi to me because then
it's not. Look, Selena Gomez loves Tanya. A lot of the artists to come on our show love Tanya. Uh-huh. Demi Lovato loves Tanya with quotations around it. It's like a showbiz loves Tanya.
Oh, I don't think so. I think so. I think her team was probably just like, listen, you can't stop. If you stop there, you're going to stop by every single person. Yeah,
and then everybody's going to be like, no, wait, talk to us, la, la.
Well, I think if I got to see Demi Lovato now, I could get a signed autograph for Hink. That's what I truly believe.
If I may stand up for Demi Lovato, when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2012, she was on the cover of 17 magazine and she did a signing at the Grove and me and my friend Andy waited in a very long line and she signed my copy of 17 magazine and she talked to me for like 3 minutes and I was just a fan.
Three whole minutes.
And I told her how much I loved her on Sunny with a Chance and we had a fun discussion.
And
she was super nice.
I think that was around the same time. Was she at the Microsoft store?
No, she was at Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it was just she was there and they were like, listen, you only have time to sign your name and no time with her pictures.
I feel like Mark is forgetting our love fest when she came on to premiere Heart Attack.
On the show is different.
And I was singing the
He's
lyrics.
Basically saying she likes you if it benefits her on radio.
Sad. Yes, it's on the radio. That's different. She loves you the way Ariana Grande is really happy to be there for the interview.
Oh, sad. Damn.
She's not. But she puts on a happy face and pretends to be.
Java's on fire.
Sorry to crush your dreams, but
I know. I'm like, I think the love is real. I feel it in my heart in places.
Yeah, in places.
In places in my heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, where are we going with that? The Avril.
Where are we going ever? We just, somebody just throws out a topic and an hour later we stopped and recorded.
We're talking about Sex and the City reboot, and then we got into Sarah Jessica Parker, and then you said that was your regret, and then I said my regret was not getting a photo with Ellen Pompeo.
Oh, right.
And then I brought up my experience waiting in line for an autograph.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to meet Avril Lavigne, because truly that was just like a moment in my teenage years where I'm going to revisit that album and really just get to it.
You're just like sending Red Star like angsty text, and he's like, what?
Yeah, what's going on? Like,
I thought we were just fine.
Yeah. But you actually, this reminds me of the music that's coming out is, yeah. I mean,
who?
Maroon 5 just came out with their album. It's actually really good if you're in your backyard barbecuing this summer. Maroon 5, it's a really nice one to throw on there.
Specific, okay.
Who else? There was a Sophia Carson song that just came out.
What vibe is that? Barbecue?
No, that is
late night car ride?
A late night car ride. If you're feeling, everybody can feel the lyrics of that song. There are specific lyrics in that song that have to do with my breakup. And so
I was going to ask if that was the one, but I didn't know if I was allowed to ask.
Yeah. So that one just hits me a little different.
Wait, like literally?
Yeah. And then Lorde.
Wow.
Lorde just came out with a new single.
Oh, yeah.
And is coming out with an album. And I am a massive Lorde fan. So I have been going.
Greenlight did not get the credit it deserved.
And that Homemade Dynamite.
Great song.
That whole album was
really
good.
That whole album, yeah. Supercut. Like all those songs were so good and didn't get the credit they deserved.
We're going to get a new Billie Eilish album this summer. Ooh. We're going to get a new Drake album before the end of this summer. We're going to get a Doja Cat album next weekend. It's like an embarrassment of riches. I don't even know what to do. Oh, we're getting a new Ed Sheeran song soon. Like, hello.
What is Ed Sheeran song going to be for?
What do you mean?
Well, Maroon 5 was for barbecue.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard it. So it's hard to say. But
I the only one that loves the new Calvin Harris song? Because I think it's really good. And I played it for my kids and they loved it.
I'm not familiar with it at
the
moment.
It's a grower, not a shower.
It was a shower for me. First time I heard it, I was like, this is amazing.
The first time I heard it, I was kind of like, this is lame. And it's grown on me. Like, wow. I'm enjoying it now.
Let's see what I've been listening to. Because y'all are talking about things that I have no idea what you're talking about. I've been listening to Unwind the 2000s. Sorry. These are my recent playlists I've listened to. Sour, Olivia Rodrigo, 2000s Heartache, which has like Collide and Come On Get Higher and
Come On Get Higher, Loosen My Lips, Faith
Slow
and
Dancing
Desire,
in a
the
Burning
swing
Room.
Of my hips. Who sings that song?
Matt Nathanson.
Dude.
Out of the Woods Radio, which has some just bops. I Quit Drinking, the new Kelsea Ballerina Lainey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really good. Chance, Hayley Kiyoko Radio, Dreams, Fleetwood Mac. Like, it's just, I got a
wow,
yeah, assortment of. So like when y'all talk about new music, I don't know it until it goes on one of those playlists I listen to.
Oh geez, are you familiar with the new BTS song?
No.
Oh my god, you're missing out. Summer is just, you're missing out.
I'm not loving Butter.
Oh, I am. It's good.
To me, it feels like it just feels overly calculated to be a summer song. They really wanted to make a song of summer, and it just feels like out of a laboratory to me.
Yeah, I like Dynamite much more.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like they did it. They hit the nail on the head with it.
Yeah, I think Butter's fine. I just think that Dynamite was, to borrow a phrase, it was dynamite. It blew me up.
Have you not heard the new Lorde song?
I listened to it once. I think that might be a grower, not a shower.
It
for
is
me.
So cute. I can't handle it.
Like the lyrics or how it sounds?
How it sounds.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's so cute. I was in a loving life this weekend because I just had so much new music to consume.
I like that Lorde song, but someone on Twitter layered a like legal disclaimer for like an antidepressant medication on top of it, and it sounded too perfect. Like it's like, try Primavera. It, results may vary, you know, like that kind of thing. And it's, it worked really well, but the song is very good. I just thought that was a funny, something funny.
Wait, it's so funny. So the day that Sophia wrote that song, she came home and we were FaceTiming and she was like, so I wrote a song inspired by partially by you. And I was like, let's hear it. So I hear it. And we like recorded the FaceTime of when I heard it. Uh-huh. And like my face just literally, you can see it. You can't hear it because when you record FaceTime, yeah, you can't hear anything. But you just see it in my face where I'm like, it's so good. And then she and her sister got in the car. I didn't realize that they were coming to get me.
Oh.
But they got in the car and we were still FaceTiming and chatting, da da da. And they said, come outside. And they'd come to my apartment. So I got in the car and we just like drove around for an hour, just like listening to it on repeat and just singing it at the top of our lungs. It was so cute. It's a memory I will never forget.
I was laughing because your post about that and how close your face is to the FaceTime. And you're like, yeah. And yes, I always FaceTime this close to the camera. And I'm like, I know that, but it was funny. Like realizing that Tanya talks like with the phone right here. Yeah. Like when I do it, I don't even want to be that up close.
Like I FaceTime like this.
Yes.
So my face is, I've never seen my face like that because I've never, you can't, I can't.
You're small.
I'm small in mine, in my own phone. So seeing it from somebody else's phone was quite jarring, actually.
That's why when you FaceTime, I'm like, all right, here we go. She's going to be right there.
Yeah, like there's no screen. It's just my face. Like there's nothing, yeah, there's no space around
your
it.
Your face is the screen.
Yeah.
When is that song out? Because I think Scrubbers are really, really going to want to hear it.
It's out. It's called, He Loves Me But.
Oh, He Loves Me But.
That one's about you, or inspired, partially inspired by you.
Correct.
And where were you in the heartache breakup process when they came and got you and debuted that song for you?
That's a good question. It's a couple months ago, so like,
well, y'all were only broken up, what, 2 months?
Two or three months. Yeah,
2.5 months.
Yeah, so in the middle of it, somewhere in the middle of it.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to remember, like when I was in the depths of a breakup, if a major recording artist came by my house, you know, Adam Duritz, Accounting Crows, comes by and says, hey, get in the car. I wrote a song about your situation. Let's go drive around and sing it. I'm like, whoa, that's a pretty cool thing.
Honestly, it really was, because it was just like so real. You know what I mean? Like I've never experienced something so raw and real before.
Yeah.
That is really cool. I don't know how I'd even react if someone did that for me.
Yeah, it's cool.
My heartbreak has been turned into a
song. That's what everybody does. They draw inspiration from, you know what I mean, the people in their lives and, you know, things like that. So it's makes sense. But yeah, it was really funny because when the song came out, I had Red Star listen to it.
Does he know?
Yeah, of course. He was like, I'm really conflicted about the song because I love it, but...
Okay, so I got on Facebook this morning and there was this anonymous post posted by the moderators. Mark, I just sent it to you. I was going to see if you could read it.
It's funny. I saw this one. I've also read this
one. I was curious about y'all's perspective on it because like I have a thought process about it, but I was curious about y'all, you know, being in a marriage and as men. So I just sent it to you to read.
Sure. And I'll clean it up a little bit. So it's not awkward. My husband and I have been married for 2 years, and he makes significantly more money than I do, 3 times more. We are combined financially, but recently he has been acting like he has control over me financially and is expecting and asking for more and more BJs because he supports us. He has been saying how he would love for me to take the initiative and give him frequent BJs, 1 to 2 a week. He says it's an easy way for me to make him feel special and appreciated since he is the one providing us the lifestyle we live. I do the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, the shopping, and keep the house afloat. We're pretty traditional in that sense. Before we got married, we made it clear we both agreed on these traditional marital roles. I've been very, very explicit with him that I never want money to be tied to sex and him leveraging money with expectations. But he's having a hard time understanding. Look, I genuinely love doing that, and he usually gets like 2 a month, but he wants more. Has anyone else been in this situation? I'm sure many people would suggest counseling, but I'm just seeing if there's advice or anything I should do first. It's not ruining our marriage, but it's a definite challenge we're facing, and we're leveraging money with sexual expectations, and I don't love that. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, I'm fired up.
Yeah, well, I felt fired up as well, and I think majority of the comments were feeling the same thing.
Should we take a break and discuss?
Sure.
All right. Wow, cliffhanger. Okay, we're back. So basically, she said she didn't want to leverage their financial situation with sex and like how often they're having sex or sexual favors, whatever. And then his response is that it makes him feel special and cared for, I guess, as being like the breadwinner. And I was like flabbergasted because I would have a really hard time with that and also feel very manipulated, I guess, is the word that I would feel. I don't know, but I don't like it, but that was my opinion. But I found it interesting to see like two different sides of how people were responding to it.
Oh, how are people responding to it?
Well, some people were like, you know, he communicated his needs to you and said that that's something that makes him feel special. So like maybe you can have a conversation about how it made you feel in return so y'all can meet in the middle. And then some people were like, absolutely not. This is so disrespectful to you. Like you're not sex worker, whatever. So it got a little like, you know, in my mind, like when I opened the comments, I quickly expected it to be like, no way, this is crazy. And then there were some other opinions I was curious about Mark and Easton's opinion as married men who obviously probably enjoy a blowjob twice a month at least.
Easton, you want to go first?
Yeah, okay. First, this sucks. This whole thing sucks. Pardon the pun. But here's the thing. Wow. I think that marriage, if you look at a marriage or a relationship as transactional like that, like we can't forget she has a job. She contributes financially to this. She just doesn't make as much as he does. But if you look at it like he makes the money, I do the cleaning. He pays the bills. I suck his wiener. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's, I think that it should be both of you as a team working towards the same goal. I don't think it should be like you do this and I do this in exchange for that. This dude sucks big time. Also, I don't want to shame anyone for what they're into sexually, but I just think every time I hear a guy who's really into, I don't think we can say the word, but BJs, he's like really into it, like demanding them all the time, like obsessed with it. It's always been a red flag. There's always some weird hang up there.
And I think so, it's a power thing.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So like, yeah, I'm not going to turn one down, but like it's, I just think that like, he's like demanding that specifically. There's a really weird hang up there. This man needs therapy so badly.
Right. Cause he's demanding that. He's not demanding sex. Intercourse. He's not, yeah. Demanding, yeah, exactly. That's it. That's really an interesting thing.
It is an interesting point.
But I also feel maybe, and I'm not defending him, I'm just playing devil's advocate. If maybe she's like, I don't need or want sex, because that's her decision if she wants intercourse. So it could be that he like knows she doesn't want that. So he's like, well,
could be. Yeah.
I need something. And that's what makes me feel good. But I'm the same way as you, Easton, in like a relationship. Like if you're constantly, it's tit for tat every single time you do something, because like there are so many stay at home moms who keep the house clean or keep the kids alive and watch the kids who are exhausted by the time their partner gets home, who may be making the money financially. And the last thing they want to do is have a scheduled amount of times for BJs because their husband needs that because he's bringing in the money. So I just felt like rageful for the people who, the women who stay home and like that's their job and it's so valuable and important. And just because it's not the same financial income, to make it seem like he could leverage that. I don't know. Just sat with, it didn't sit well with me.
It's not sitting well with me either. And let me tell you why. Because first of all, tying sexual anything to money is so beyond like, I've not married. I've never been married, but that's not marriage to me. Like I can't even wrap my head around that. I think when you're in a partnership and you're in a loving, committed relationship, you should both be wanting to please the other person sexually. And it, like, for me, I like giving BJs. So I offer to do it all the time because I just like it. I also like doing other things all the time. Do you know what I mean? So to me, it's not like, I just want to make sure that, and he can say if he wants or if he doesn't want, whatever. But I never want that to be tied. If that was ever tied to some financial part of anything, I would feel the complete opposite. I would never want to do it. I would start resenting him. I just feel like that's not the way to go about it. And then second of all, I have this thing where I feel like whatever, the way that you want to be in a marriage is up to you. If you want to, you know, if there is a money, you know, some person brings in a lot more money than the other. I think that you lose a bit of yourself when you are completely dependent on somebody else. So I feel like I have a girlfriend who her husband makes a lot of money and she doesn't need to work. So she quit her job, her corporate job, because she was just losing herself, which I get it, right? And she didn't need to work. And nothing bad happened in their marriage, but she basically was like, I want to make something, even if it's a little something, so that I am not completely dependent on another human being. That's not myself. Because I think if you can be independent in a relationship, even in a 20-year marriage, there's something that just levels it out. So it's like she said that she does have a job and she is contributing. So I feel as though she didn't lose that part. Cause I think sometimes when you lose that part, that's when things start to get shaky and you start to please the other person. You don't really have your own needs or wants. You just want to like please the other person. So I don't know. I don't even know what I would do in this situation.
Well, I think having a conversation, because he might, listen, I don't know him and I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. And she seems so, like the way she presented it seemed like so sweet and like she was just genuinely seeking advice. And I hope for her sake that he's a better guy than it came across in the little information we got. But I think just having a conversation, being like, I just want you to know this is how it made me feel. Like we talked about not leveraging sex in money, and it really hurt my feelings that like my worth in this sense is being connected to how many sexual favors I'm doing versus how much money I'm making compared to you. Like I think having a conversation about it, and if he does not accept it or isn't even willing to hear her out, then I think it's kind of like I can't.
Sorry.
One of Red Star's texts popped up on the computer.
And I don't know how to unsync my computer and my
really
phone.
Really funny. Not sexual. Just funny. But yeah, I think having a conversation about it, because I do think if he came to her and said it in more of like, hey, I'm not expecting you to want to have like sex all the time if that isn't something you want all the time. But I have like needs and, you know, this, if we can maybe meet in the middle, but I don't know. I think it comes a lot to communicating. I just don't want her to feel like that's not healthy what's happening, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just a conversation that they have to have separately. It's got to be, you have to have your expectations in a relationship and you got to communicate those to your partner and you got to figure out how it's going to work for both of you. He can take care of his own needs if he needs to, right? I mean, it sounds like he wants a servant more than he wants a wife, the way that she wrote this. And again, hope that's not the case.
Same.
They just have to be, it's church and state. You got to have completely separate, it's got to be a wall up between those two sides of the relationship. But also, I don't like that she makes such a big deal out of the fact that he makes triple what she does. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It all goes into one pile. That should never even be an issue. You're a team. Like I've never, you know, you always hear about these, you know, CEOs or actors or whatever, and they get a divorce and the wife gets half the money. That always made sense to me because he's out working, but she's raising the kids and she's doing all the stuff in the house or whatever it is. You're a team. All this stuff has to get done. You're just kind of dividing it up however it works. But she is an equal contributor to this relationship, even though she makes less than he does. It needs to be an equal partnership or it's never going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just sent you another post from the group.
Lovely.
I'm just seeking out advice column.
Producer Becca. Wow.
I have not received. Oh, here it is. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, that will just make me so mad.
So mad.
All right, I'm reading this one cold. Let's see how it is. Help! My husband and I's, right there, my husband and my, sex life is not great. For context, I'm 26. We're on kid number two. We've been married for over 3 years. We waited till we got married for each other. But prior to him, I had a long-term boyfriend that I did sleep with. And shamefully to say, it was like really, really good. My husband is not experienced, which praise be, that is so often, and I'm proud of that. But he is scared to experiment. He doesn't touch me. He doesn't like me touching him. It's basically just kissing with his shirt on, and then one position of the deed, and then done. And let me tell you, my husband is smoking hot, so I don't think it's an insecurity thing. I brought up the idea of getting a vibrator to get things going a little better, but last night when I wanted to bring it out, it was a hard no from him. He said it was weird, and after that, we didn't even continue. Just went to bed. I'm sad, frustrated, discouraged, and not sure what to do. How do I spice things up with a husband that isn't willing to get out of his comfort zone?
Well, for starters, save the toys. You need an icebreaker before you. He's wearing his t-shirt while you're having sex and you bring out a toy, I'm gonna tell you he's gonna be like, no. So let's pump the brakes on the toys for a minute.
But I think the toy is more so that she's getting pleasure and he doesn't feel like the pressure of giving her the pleasure, like it all being on him.
That's not what he sees it as.
No.
That's not what he sees
makes
it
him,
as.
It makes him feel inadequate and it makes him feel uncomfortable.
So I don't really, this is my suggestion. Get super drunk. That's how good things always start.
Amen.
Amen. So get super drunk and like, I don't want to say talk dirty, but like tell him how hot he is and like what he like, that he burns your loins and like.
Please don't say that. That is not sexy.
However she wants to say it, but just like give him like dirty talk, like just make him feel super hot and like what he does to you internally. And I think that could rev his engines
a little
bit.
Let's let the men talk about what they would want to hear, burning the loins.
I try to stay away from a burning sensation down there. That's the goal, typically.
I think this is really common, especially when you wait to have sex with one person. Like, I think everyone goes through the like awkward, like, I don't know what I'm doing stress of having the first time. And it just happens to be that his first time was with his wife. And so he's still maybe, I don't know, maybe he hasn't found his confidence because he's been scared of the feeling of not performing to the ability that you want, you know?
Yeah. Or but if he's only letting you be, if only doing it in one position, like, flip around and be like, haha.
She said he doesn't want to touch her and he won't let her touch him.
Well, she put touching in quotes. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Like, no, like,
well, no, I think they probably
fondling or,
yeah, I'm thinking and, like,
I read that as digital stimulation.
Digital?
With the, I love digital manipulation and stimulation.
Wait,
it's the best.
What is that? What
is, do you
this
think
is a digit? This is a digit.
Oh,
your fingers.
So they just like put it in, they just kiss and
well,
insert?
Well, she said basically he has a shirt on and they kiss and then one position, which I'm assuming is missionary, and it's done. So it doesn't sound like she's really getting much from the sex experience.
That's what I'm saying. She needs to, I know, I'm in deep in thought.
Tanya's buffering right now.
Yeah. I'm deep in thought because I'm trying to figure out how she can like really do it in the moment to where.
See, that's the thing. I think that's the mistake. You're doing it in the moment. I think you guys have to have a conversation that's removed from all of it. And we need to get into a little bit why he's like this. And you may know why he's like this. Maybe he's deeply religious and feels like he's doing something wrong. Maybe he's insecure. Look, the hottest guys have insecurities. Everybody has insecurities. It could be that. There could be some shame that's associated with it that was inflicted by his parents or something. So I think a lot of conversation, I think therapy would be great, but conversation is going to help you get closer to it. Mm-hmm. And it might be as simple as a conversation of finding out what he likes, what he would be into, but doing it far removed from a bedroom clothes removal situation that's going to make him freeze up.
I will say there is so, if they're religious, which I mean, normally the choice to wait until marriage is normally associated with religion, and there's a lot of shame and guilt specifically in the church and religion associated with sex. And like, using toys and masturbation. Like, there's so much guilt and shame associated with that, that he still, even though he's married and doing it in the context with which, you know, religion says it's okay, he still can't get over what has been ingrained in him about...
It's hard to flip that switch.
It's so... I mean, I... Believe me, I speak from experience, not so much in the same area, but even, like, being a virgin and choosing to wait, and then when I had sex, like, the guilt and shame I felt,
yeah.
And it's like, it really is ingrained in you, and, like, it's not like all of a sudden you can get married and just, like, turn it off. Like, for some people, it's not that easy, so... I agree with Mark. I think it's having a conversation that's not in the moment or in the bedroom. I think it's talking about it and being honest. And I do think seeing a counselor, a therapist, whatever, even if it's through your church or if you're religious, talking to someone about it who can help, because eventually that is going to be a problem and you're going to maybe start hiding and doing things on your own like that. Makes that forms like a, what am I trying to say? Like a tough spot in y'all's relationship. Like if
I don't know, I'm just saying, I think you guys are really not giving credit to a nice little sexy lingerie outfit with some stilettos. And a little dance show saying, "Oh,
yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know what that thing does to my vagina?"
His wife's like being like a stripper. It's going to make him really uncomfortable.
But and what
not,
if
not stripper?
That's what it sounds like you're doing.
But what if that's not what is missing for him, and then he doesn't react the way she needs, and then she's like hurt.
And that's what will happen.
Yeah.
And she'll be very rejected. I think, you know, I've said this kind of happened to me. You know, when I was a kid, I was told drinking is wrong, drugs are wrong, mm-hmm. smoking is wrong, coffee is wrong, because I was like 5. And that switch never flipped for me. And now I'm almost 50, and I still don't do any of those things because that switch is still in the wrong position. I think this guy just needs time. Mm-hmm. I think you've not been married that long. I think it's going to come around, but it's going to take a lot of conversation and a lot of time, a lot of baby steps.
I thought I wasn't allowed to love Jennifer Aniston because I found out she smoked and I like cigarettes, and my mom had told me that that was really bad. And so like, I always held on to that. Like, wow. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like not a good role model for me.
Does she still smoke cigarettes?
I don't know, but who cares?
I know, but that's interesting because she's so like yoga girl.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you see that trailer for season 2 of The Morning Show?
I haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it.
Looks really good.
Anyways, Anonymous, I hope that everything works out for both of our Anonymous writers because y'all both seem like awesome and your husbands just need a little, some conversation, some hard conversations.
And just Tanya saying, flip it down, scrub it and reverse it. Just
oh my God.
See what he does. You don't know.
Flip it down.
If she's saying they only do it in one position, she can like flip around and like face another way. And
he doesn't want, he's going to be uncomfortable with that.
Well, you know what? You know what happens when you're uncomfortable? Sometimes
his wife is on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then let's get a pedestal and bring that in the bedroom. Wear a crown. I don't know.
Oh, poor Red Star. What a
yeah,
guy.
Right, poor Red Star.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Never
that's
mind.
That's not the message here.
Exactly. Lucky Red Star is
yeah,
more like
you're
it.
Right,
now,
you're right.
He's... When we get back to the Yam t-shirt, then it's poor Red Star.
Exactly. But in this case, it's not. It's the opposite. No.
I'm just saying, Tanya's just like, turn around. Do you know what you do to my loins? Do you know what that thing does to me? He's like, just turn around.
Oh, well, I feel like I always try and make like dirty jokes to the point now where like it's almost laughable. And I'm like, this isn't quite what I was going for when I was... You know,
will you please do me a favor? Okay, there's this like, it was a while ago that it went viral, but I still see them every now and then where the couple will be at like a family function and the girl will send the guy like a really dirty text and film him like checking his phone, and the reactions are so funny.
That's so good.
I know, you should do a reel or TikTok.
Maybe I'll do it tonight.
Yeah, or just like for, you know, me. Send it to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be public. I just
wait, that could be funny because we're going to dinner with his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, unfortunately, the time has come to end this podcast.
Oh, shucks.
But it was a good one. I feel good about it.
I don't even remember what we talked about.
It was a lot. There was a lot that we talked about. So I don't know either. But hope you all have a great week. And we'll be back next Monday.
That's right.
That's right. Bye.
Bye.